Thank you for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
Yes, this is a fun one, Kevin.
This is a great one.
Are you excited about what we're going to talk about today?
I'm very excited. We're talking about an event that I've been excited for once we got the date in place, you know?
Yeah, the day after it ended last year.
Yeah, that's when my excitement started to build, right after. Oh, I can't wait for next year. Exactly, 100%.
Well, that's good. That's good to know that you'll be feeling the same way on May 10th of this year, then. You'll be ready to roll.
Always looking forward to the next one. It's like Tom Brady, always looking forward to the next championship, you know?
Yeah. See, let me remind you of something. He's retired.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's all right. I heard a little quote about him, like, someone was asking him if there's potential for him to come back, and he was like, there's always potential, so fingers crossed. Wow.
That'd be amazing if he did. I would admire that, to be honest. Yeah, right? That would be pretty cool for somebody that could do that at that point in his life. I think that would be pretty amazing to watch. Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about him all podcast, but we'll end it there.
That sounds good. I appreciate that. So here we are today. We're talking about our upcoming event, which is Manufacturing Your Future, Navigating Advanced Technologies in the Workforce. It is May 9th at Polar Park in Worcester, Mass. And we have two guests with us today, a very special guest, which I was so thrilled when she was like, yes, I can attend. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. No, I know, Christy, we feel that way about you as well. Same thing. But I do want to welcome in with us today, Jane Arnold. So Jane, I'm going to talk a little bit about you. I obviously had an opportunity to see you last year at an event, but I'm going to kind of go through your bio a little bit and then you can lay it down for us. So you're a seasoned industry executive with over 3 decades of experience in chemical, discrete, and additive manufacturing. As a digital leader in Industry 4.0, you're dedicated to enhancing the impact of manufacturing through the adoption of cutting-edge technologies. And then throughout your career, you've held executive positions at Stanley Black & Decker and Covestro, where you were responsible for spearheading digital transformations. You have your own advisory business and serve as a board member. I do know you took what we like to call a break and then said, I think I might need to do something again. And you are now with, is it Aperio?
That's right, Aperio.
Okay, Aperio, as a chief customer officer, where they focus on the industrial data quality problem. So welcome, Jane. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Haley, for the invitation. And I'm happy to be here today. And I'm really excited about joining the event on May 9th, now that I'm sure that I have the date correct. And, you know, I like sharing what I've learned and sharing experiences with people in manufacturing and helping them get over the hurdle of getting started. So I think that's really important.
Yes. Well, thanks. We appreciate it. And one of our favorites that we like to have back with us, Christy Grignon, our Senior Director of Business Development. Welcome back with us, Christy.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Jane, just so you know, I try to get out of these all the time by saying something weird on here, but they keep inviting me back. I don't know, but it's good to be back. And I'm glad Jane's here to carry the conversation. So we're good.
Well, they must like weird. So, yeah, it's a plus.
Yeah. It is. Should we get requests? We got requests. We want to have her back on. We want to hear what odd things she can bring to the table for us. So it keeps it at a level that everybody can kind of connect with. So we appreciate it. And so does the audience. So thanks for being here. So Kevin, obviously, before we get started and getting into why we're here, let's do the infamous icebreaker question for everybody.
Yeah, totally. I think this one's a pretty easy one. Maybe it's just easy for me because I had a direct answer. Like right when I saw the question, I knew exactly what my answer would be. But without further ado, if you could only eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would that meal be? And I'm going like one course meal. What would it be?
You know, that's actually a difficult question because it depends on how stressed I am that day. Is it going to be a hamburger or is it going to be some grilled fish? So the right answer is grilled fish with fresh vegetables.
Okay.
The most logical answer is going to be that hamburger and french fries from the burger joint down the street. So
I love that. That's a great answer.
I don't, what was your answer, Kevin? Like if you were so quick to it, what did you go with?
Mine's something so easy. It's a chicken cutlet sub with lettuce, mayo, maybe some roasted red peppers on there too. Maybe a little mozzarella too in there. But I love my chicken cutlets. I love them. So that's what I would pick. Close to my heart. My mom makes a great chicken cutlet. So I've been having that ever since I was younger. So pretty easy for me.
So this is horrible, but I think, I mean, I eat a grilled chicken salad almost every day in the office. So like if there's something I'm not going to get sick of that I have to eat, it's going to give me some vegetables and some protein, I'm going to have to go with a grilled chicken salad. Like just straight up. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. That's good. I like that one. I mean, you know me. I love my grilled chicken salad as well. Chicken Caesar salad is what I usually go to. So I can't be mad at that answer.
Wow. Very good. I'm probably going to go back to nostalgia of my mom when she used to make a meal. And it was, and this is really bizarre, Christy. So here's the weird part. I'm bringing it in. Because originally British, something that's called a steak and kidney pie.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know it's bizarre. It is wildly bizarre, but with some mashed potatoes on the side. Like it's just basically it's just like a steak pie with a good crust on the top of it. And then the mashed potatoes on the side. So I haven't had it in years. So
that sounds wonderful. When I'm up in Massachusetts in a couple of weeks, I think that you should take me somewhere that serves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We might have to find Christy. We've got some places lined up. So see what specialties they have there. And we have a lot of great pubs up here by us that do have a lot of that stuff. And I will go there and get some of those things. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
That's great though. Some good answers. I like it.
I know. There we go. That's awesome. I love it. So obviously the innovation of food and what it is today, where it's come from. And over the weekend, I bought some of that freeze-dried candy. It's wild. Maybe I'll have to bring it into the office. Maybe tomorrow I'll bring some in and you guys can try it. But it's really bizarre. If you haven't tried it yet, just give it a taste and see what you think. But I don't know. It's really crunchy. So but it's innovative, just like we are, right, Kevin, and what we're doing for the event, where we're going.
Always got to tie it back in. I love that.
No. I know. Yep. That's how it
that
rolls.
Was good. I thought I had a tough one for you that you weren't going to be able to seamlessly bring it in, but no, you hurdled it. I love it.
I know. Okay. So the event is May 9th, right? It's at Polar Park. Let's get into some of the nitty gritty specifics that the audience would need to know for the event of the day. So let's kind of talk about, obviously we'll get into more on the why we do what we do and pull Jane into kind of explaining why this something like this is important. But our obvious answer is we like doing it. So I would say we enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. But what is the most rewarding part is when they leave at the end of the day and we see they kind of come in maybe a little puzzled. And by the time that they leave, they are that puzzled look is gone and they really have got some meat and potatoes to hold on to as they walk out the door. So let's kind of go through the little bit of the basics of the overview of the day. So when are we opening up and how are we getting things going, Kevin?
Yeah, so we'll be there bright and early. Registration opens at 7:30 a.m. And then from registration, we head on up to the facility, and then we get into our networking and our morning refreshments, and we have a great continental breakfast waiting for people upstairs that I assume a lot of people would love, and then yeah, we get into some opening remarks from Massimi P and Kathy Mahoney. We present the Jack Healy Award winner as well, so we have a lot of great things, and then we hop into the keynote introduction for Jane.
Yeah. So that's really, food is always important. Mm-hmm. I know everybody made fun because I did put that on the notes as to what we were going to discuss in the podcast, but we do host a pretty decent event. And I think one of the biggest compliments we get is the food. We always know how to do an event right is what I've heard. So, yeah. So registration is open on our website still.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so they go to massmap.org, and then you'll be able to go under the events page and see, click down under the event itself, and then you'll go into the website. And then in the website is more of the specifics about the event itself and how to register. We will have the, what we're calling our pre-registration. It will be open up until May, the end of May 7th. It will be closed May 8th. And then we will open it back up again on May 9th, and we will be doing on-site registration. So if anybody misses it and they forget, I would suggest that we do kind of have some seatings that we have a capacity as to what we can to fill it. So if you miss it and forget, it's okay. You can show up that day. We do have options that we'll talk about, the breakout rooms, so that you can pick through your choice of rooms that you want to attend. And so just, I guess our top thing right now, Kevin, for Kevin and I, is just go get yourselves registered. It's critical to do it. So we do have a special code as well for the manufacturers. And so if you need the code, we'll put it in a special link in the website for you under our podcast so that you can have access to it. And we'll give you the code for the mass manufacturers. So you can see the code on there and you'll be able to register. And it's a complimentary registration. Yeah. So that's it. So that's pretty much basic details, right, for the day?
Yeah, that's just about it. We got loads of information on our website. So if you want to learn a bit more about the breakout rooms and what they really entail, you can see that through our website, through the registration link.
All right. So obviously we always, as who we are at Massimi P, we always touch on the why. So Christy, why was there a need to start this event? And this, obviously this is the third Manufacturing Your Future, but it's technically the fourth event that we've done when it comes to industry 4.0 smart manufacturing. But why start this?
Yeah, so we started this back in 2019 was our first one. Had to take a little break because of COVID, something called COVID. But really the importance of this is we make all the technology here in Massachusetts. Like, we are such a hub of innovation and technology. And yet when you do the research and you see how our manufacturers adopt technology, we are way behind the rest of the country. So it's really important for us to have this, to educate the manufacturers here in Massachusetts and make sure that they don't get left behind. Not only are we educating them on what technology they can bring into their manufacturing facilities, but also what opportunities are here in Massachusetts, who are the resources, who can you rely on to help with the implementation and the funding. So it all comes together in one space at Polar Park. So it's really important that you attend, and it's just education. Where do you start? I think that's where Jane kind of comes into this too as well, right?
I mean, and so we talked about it a little bit, but Jane, why do you think these events are important to do this?
So the reason I think it's important is that you get all these manufacturers together and they're sharing stories. We're not talking about IP or anything like that, but actually, I was trying to do this, or I was having a problem here, or I have an issue with this. And the companies get together, and they can actually brainstorm together. And then you bring in a few experts as well who've lived it, who've done it before, who can help facilitate that conversation. And there's really a benefit. And I have to say that a year ago, we met at Operations Calling, but that same week there was another event called Digital Factory that I was a part of. And I was on a supply chain resiliency panel with Liz Reynolds. And I don't know if you know Liz, but she's associated with MIT, and she was in the office of the president for a period of time as an advisor on the state of manufacturing for the US. But she made this point on the panel about we will not be successful in supply chain in the US unless we digitize the middle. So when we look at all of small and medium manufacturing, we absolutely have to do this much as we can for them, because they're 80% of supply chain in the US. And so you have to make those improvements, because we want the efficiency gains that you get by implementing technology. And we want it all the way through the system, because it's going to help us as a country all around. So I enjoy going to these events to try to pitch in and help wherever I can.
When you, I think, so I kind of have a question for you, Jane. If you obviously you've been in manufacturing, so when you kind of go back into their world, is it really as daunting as they think it is? Or is there some easier ways to kind of get a hold of it a little bit?
Well, it can be daunting, because if you're looking at the whole problem, the whole picture, okay, well, I'm at step one and I need to go to 100 steps. Oh my God, that's so much time and money and effort and people and expertise, and I don't have it. So it can be very daunting. So one of the things that I always recommend to people is that you have to consider each factory exactly where they are. Where are you at today? What is your biggest pain point? What keeps you up at night? Let's fix that first. And then you finally take that first step. And once you get started, things start to go a little bit easier. But when you look at that daunting picture and you're talking about technology, many factories don't have the networking already installed. So you have this hurdle of having to install networking, data centers and things like that, in order to just be able to capture the data and build insights off of it. There are some solutions that you can implement today, even if you haven't got a big networking, because you can do Wi-Fi, point source Wi-Fi. I don't know the proper technical name for it. You can use 4G, 5G connectivity, and you can start to build even if you haven't got an physically installed network inside your factory. So there's steps you can take, but it is actually overwhelming if you try to look at the whole thing. And for me, it's always fascinating, because I love to see how things are made, and to learn from the people with their hands closest to the process, from the operators and what they're doing, and then look for ways to improve their pain points.
Yeah, that's great. So we see that every day and we hear that a lot. And so that's why we take an event like this and then we break it down into smaller spaces like the breakout rooms. And we always do a follow-up at the end of the event and ask for feedback. And we hear a lot of the same feedback over and over again. And so I think when this started to develop for this year, Christy and Kathy and Ellen kind of sat down and knew that we not only have smart manufacturing that really we're still breaking down into small pieces, but we're also still hearing a lot about workforce. And then they were able to kind of look at it and go, okay, these two pieces, how do we now overlap these two pieces together? And they both stand very independently, but they can also be dependent of each other as well. And so that's where we kind of got into the breakout rooms. And us saying about it being daunting, we broke down the rooms and we have these breakout sessions that are available so that we always say, you can't eat an elephant in one bite. You have to take a bite at a time. So that's what these breakout sessions are for. And we kind of hope that maybe this will help, in that education side of things, as they get started. You are going to be our keynote speaker, Jane, but hopefully you've had a chance to kind of look at the breakout rooms, and we'll talk about those now. Is there a couple that you are interested in attending and being a part of?
So yes, there is. When I'm looking at this, so manufacturing and AI, and AI is such a hot topic right now because there's so much potential behind it. And how do we properly implement AI to where it's augmenting the workforce and not replacing the workforce? Because that's really what you want to be doing with advanced technologies and finding that untapped potential. But most important to me is actually workforce. So you call it on the roundtable innovating workforce excellence. But when we look at connected worker and the workforce development, those people are the most important people in your company. And you have to, do a bottoms-up approach to adding technology and making improvements if you want to be successful. And I learned early in my career that you have to work with the operators before you implement any changes. And it'll be successful when you incorporate their ideas and listen to them because they know those pain points better than anybody. There might be things that the plant manager that keeps them up at night, but the operator is going to actually know where the problem is.
All right. So, Christy, we had our planning team spearhead and pull some of these rooms together. Your room that I think you kind of oversaw, that was up two rooms, really, is what you were in charge of, we'll say. You want to tap into those a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So, Jane, you opened me up nicely because one of the rooms is combining your organization's culture with AI. And how do you prepare your workforce for that? Because really, you have to have the right culture and the right workforce to start to implement these pieces. So we're going to learn a little bit about American Surgical and how they're working with a consultant to prepare their workforce for these changes that are coming. And they're not coming tomorrow. They've been very talking about eating an elephant. They're really taking the steps that are necessary. And you'll hear Daisy talk about it. I mean, she brings chills to me. She talks about how this is a workforce that doesn't even know how to use a PC. And now they're getting so excited about the opportunities that are at their fingertips. They've never been pulled in to the conversation so early. So they're super excited about it. So I'm very excited to hear about that. I think another hot topic is cybersecurity, right? We've been talking about it for a very long time, and talking about digitizing your operation, your cybersecurity has to be extremely strong. So we're going to talk about cybersecurity with a large OEM. We're going to be talking about it with General Dynamics, how they find their supply chain and how they ensure that their supply chain is cyber compliant, and how they work with their resources here in Massachusetts to support anybody within their supply chain to get to that point. You're going to hear from a company, Cinecon Plastics, that they found and said, we want to do work with you. They started at a negative, spoiler alert, because I know they're going to talk about this, but they started at a negative 67 spur score. GD requires a 90, and they're at a 99 today and got their first large contract with GD. So super exciting story for everybody involved. And then on top of that, we're going to have Mass Tech Collaborative there as well to talk about what they're doing from the state side to aid in funding for these companies. So Cinecon was the recipient of an MMAP grant, which allowed them to buy new equipment to do this work for GD. So it all comes together of how we're using our resources, our partners, and making it happen here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, we have the rooms are very strategically built and placed, and they do allow these spaces for everybody to have a little bit of this overlap. The downside is, I mean, we have 8 rooms, which is great, 8 breakout sessions. The downside is we only have time for a person to attend 3 of the 8, but that's still great. So if you have a company that if you have 3 people attending, well, then there you go. Obviously, there's going to be one overlap room, but you'll be able to each attend a different breakout session. So, I think there is a lot of opportunity to be able to overlap and be able to see different areas that maybe you wouldn't think of that are connecting together. And it's just something that came out of this space when we were pulling everything together as to what is the next thing while still hearing what is still important and still, I think you made that comment, Jane, obviously, that the workforce is so critical because we wouldn't be able to do what we do if we didn't have them. And we still are hearing that it is still a really important thing. I love, what was the comment the you made? Christy always has one. Christy, what's your statement that you go say about AI?
Yeah, I caught Jane's too, which I loved, but it's to supplement, not substitute. And I
Yeah.
used it to augment.
Yes, that's right. We want to
Yeah.
augment the workforce.
Yeah. It was
And
great.
something to keep in mind, I had someone tell me that the term artificial intelligence is just designated to those things we don't understand yet. And that it's all understandable and achievable, and there are those who understand it. But when we talk about AI, it's new technology that's not widely understood. So it's not a scary thing, is what I'm trying to say. It's just the next step in advancing.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Kevin, you and I are going to be recording the podcast on this day, correct?
Yeah, it's a first for us, alive. Well, alive. I said that the other day. I mean, all of these are live for us, I guess. But yeah, to have a podcast recording at this event is going to be phenomenal. Getting all different perspectives from people who are attending, all different perspectives on the different rooms that there are. Getting a glimpse of what people are seeing during the event is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so it should be a fun day. So don't be surprised, Jane, if you see one of us heading your direction with a microphone at the end of a cell phone asking
Okay.
for some comments on what you're thinking and what you're seeing is going on in these rooms. And for everybody else that's listening too, same thing. We might be pulling people to the side and asking them questions. We might be sitting in the rooms and just listening because we just want to be able to get more of this out there to the world. And let people know what we're doing in Massachusetts, I guess. Not really the world, but Massachusetts is our goal. So, but in kind of in lines with that, we had asked you, Jane, we're gonna throughout the day, we are going to have a digital way for the those that are in attendance to ask questions of you. So you we're not going to talk about your keynote because we want that to be a surprise because we want people to attend. We want everybody there on the day, but you obviously will you have a keynote set, you're ready to go. And then we want people to be able to tie it together. You know, like a lot of times people will look at this and say, oh, there's a keynote and then there's a breakout room and then there's we don't work that way. We're very intertwined and interconnected. As we said, we like to have the overlap of the workforce with smart manufacturing. Yeah, they can all stand on their own, but we want to make it all cohesive if we can. And so we're gonna kind of bring you back later on at the end of the day, and hopefully you'll be able to sit in these rooms and, 3 different rooms and give us kind of your perspective on the rooms and what you're thinking. And then we'll have questions for you as well that will come in throughout the day. You know, somebody could be sitting in a room. You may have said something earlier in the day in your keynote and it connects and they go, huh, I need to ask this question. And that's that aha moment, right? We want them to do that. So we're going to kind of put you on the spot. So I hope you're ready for
Okay. Well, thank you for the warning because this is the first I've heard of this, but
that.
it sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, good. I think you're quick. You'll be pretty good at that. You'll we might have a secret insight. You might be able to see the questions ahead of time before we throw them at you right in that moment. So you might be able to see them from behind the scenes to kind of be prepared for it. And we'll be able to go through it. But I think that's what's important for it, we kind of talked about that a little bit, is we want it to be engaged and we want them to be able to connect back to it. And so, and to break down that big barrier of it being so much at one time. So hopefully that'll help.
One thing to note is that there are no dumb questions. So everyone is coming from a different starting place. Feel free to ask anything that you like, and I'm more than happy to engage in that conversation.
That's great. Well, this is exciting. So we're really we're looking forward to it. We have some tickets available. We'll put the codes out for everybody and we'll get some these seats filled. One of the things we didn't talk about, which is really kind of important, is the Jack Healey Award. Christy, you want to touch on that for us?
Sure, I'd love to. So I had the privilege of working for Jack for about 2 years before he officially retired, and Jack has passed away since, but his legacy lives on. And he is a gentleman here in Massachusetts that was known kind of as the father of manufacturing. They tell the stories they tell are incredible, but he had such a passion for manufacturing and to help. So this is a leadership award because he was such a great leader here at Mass MEP. So this is, Haley, you probably know better than me. Is this the ninth Jack Healey
It
Award?
is our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It is the ninth.
Yeah, so the ninth Jack Healey Award, and it just gets better and better every year. It's amazing who is out there in our community that is supporting the community, supporting the manufacturers. And the winner this year is it's been too long. He probably should have had it years ago, but he's getting his Jack Healey Award this year.
So everybody needs to, again, another, like, you got to be there to see who it is to get the, and or if you follow us on social media, it may be out there on social too. But yeah, it's been a fun day. So yeah, I mean, I think that about covers it. So Jane, for you, bucket list when you're in Massachusetts, you want, obviously we need to try and find you a steak and kidney pie while you're up here eating. Any other requests that we should try to get lined up for you when you're up in Massachusetts with
Oh,
us?
you know, that's really tough. I'm always interested in the local craft beer if there is some. So I lived
Oh.
in Europe, and every, you know, I lived in Germany, and every township that you went to, they had their own beer. So I sampled beer from all over the country and then all over Europe. So we can throw in a local beer on top of the kidney pie. I'd be all set.
Yeah, wow. This is great. Oh, Christy's loving this right now. This is right up her alley.
I wrote down, go get 2 6-packs.
That's all we need, right? Hang out in the parking lot and drink beer. Sure.
Everybody knows I'll be at Greater Good the day before and Wormtown the day before. You'll be good to go, Jane.
Yeah, some great. One of our local breweries is right there, actually. They have a great place right in, it's called Worcester Public Market, and it's right by Polar Park. So great.
Perfect.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there's actually, and then there's Bay State Brewery that's behind Polar Park. I mean, they're all over. So you are,
So we
yeah.
could do a pub crawl the night before. We'll be in prime condition for the event.
Love
Kevin,
that.
Kevin's coming in the night before now. This is so exciting.
Absolutely. I'll be
You'll
there
just,
nice and early.
yeah, you can just sleep in your car in the parking
Yeah,
lot.
absolutely.
Oh, this
I
is
love
great.
it.
We're gonna have to invite you back for beers and gears too, because
Yeah,
that's what
certainly.
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. We just did, we were just out in Western Mass. We were out in Dalton, Mass, and it was we were in Pitts, it was close to Pittsfield. The brewery was called Shire. And so obviously they're a manufacturer, so we get to work with them. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. I remember when I first started here and I was like, really? They're like, yeah, they're a manufacturer. I'm like, wow, okay, I get it. So it's something to look forward to. But yeah, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. Kevin, did we get everything we needed to get through?
I think we got everything. We
You
touched on it
did?
all.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Okay,
Well,
great. Well, I'm
thank
looking
you.
forward to the event. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you both for being here today. And for everybody else, make sure you go online to a website, massmap.org, and get yourselves registered. Look for the code under our podcast. You know where they are under our website as well. So you'll see the code for the manufacturers. And we look forward to seeing everybody on May 9th. Thank you for being here today with us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.